Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Today I want to speak to you on the subject of Bible prophecy and the coming world leader. The Bible prophesies without theological wiggle room that there is coming a day when the leaders of the world will hand the reins of global control to one individual. The Bible calls him the Antichrist. He obviously will not carry that name on his political banners. You'll never see a yard sign, "Please this November elect John F. Antichrist," with a man with 666 across his head. It's not going to be that blatant, but it is going to be, don't miss this, it is going to be recognizable to those who study the scriptures. Over 100 passages in the Bible deal with and define the coming Antichrist. I oftentimes take criticism from the online theology police who oftentimes will say, "No real man of God should be talking about the Antichrist. We should be keeping our full attention on Jesus Christ." Well, in the natural, that might sound like a profound statement, but it is absolutely foolish to say such a thing. When you understand that God, who gave us the infallibility of the Bible, gave us 100 passages on the Antichrist, unless you feel like it's right to tear chapters out of your Bible and put them in the shredder, you can't preach the full gospel by only picking your pet subject. Now, obviously, we believe Christ above all, and Christ is the theme of the gospel. But the Bible gives us enough detailed information about coming political agendas to keep us aware as to exactly where we are at. I want to also lay down a foundational verse. If you never learn anything about Bible prophecy, if this is the only message you ever hear on Bible prophecy, may you remember Matthew 24:44 that said, "Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." The main theme of Bible prophecy is not to scare us, but to prepare us. And you need to live every day ready to meet the Lord. I wonder today if you're ready. Not the person sitting next to you. Put a finger on your own heart. Ask yourself this question this Sunday morning. Am I living ready? If the Lord were to come today, am I ready to go? Are you living in victory over sin? Or is sin living in victory over you? Do you claim to be a Christian and go to church on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, you live any old way you want to live and chalk it all up to grace? Are you living outside of the sacred institution of marriage in sin? Are you still attending wild parties? Are you still getting drunk? Are you still involved in depravity? Are you still running a business in dishonesty? The Bible says those who claim to be Christians but still hold on and practice such behaviors shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to help you. I am here to tell you that according to Bible prophecy, we're running out of time. And because we're running out of time, you need to live ready every day with the Lord's return in mind. And when I close in the moments to come, I'm going to give you an invitation to meet me at this altar, just like we did in the first service. And by coming to this altar at the close and praying with me, many people call it a sinner's prayer. But by coming to this altar and praying with me, you're saying, not to me, you're saying to God, when you stand at that altar in our closing prayer, God, I want to be a real Christian. God, I want to live ready every day to meet the Lord. And if no one has ever lovingly told you, how do you get right with God? The Bible said you have to do three things to be right with God. Do you know the most common question of the millions of people who watch us on social media every month? Do you know what the most common question is all the time? It kind of goes like this. Tiff, tell me in language I can understand, how can I know that I'm right with God? That's what a lot of people want to know. How can I know that I'm saved? How can I know that my sins are forgiven? How can I know that if the Lord were to come, that I'd be ready to go? How can I be sure of my salvation? And so before we touch on the pages of prophecy, let me lay this foundation down. If you want to be right with God, there's three things the Bible said you have to do. All of you that are watching on social media, and I have no idea what that number may be in the days ahead. Months ago when I was here, I preached a message in this very sanctuary and on your YouTube channel, not mine. Over 2 million people around the world have watched that message. And so I try to be incredibly sensitive every time I speak to try to retrain my feeble mind that it's not just the people in the sanctuary that I'm speaking to. Over 2 million people around the world listen to a message on King's Alaska YouTube channel. And hundreds of thousands to our other messages. If you're watching on social media, you listen as carefully as the people in the sanctuary. Because here are three things you have to do to get right with God. There are people listening to me right now. You're not right with God. There are men listening to me right now. You're not right with God. There are women listening to me right now. You're not right with God. I'm not saying you're not a good person. You can be decent and moral and kind and good and not be right with God. Here are three things you need to ask yourself. Have you ever done these three things straight out of the pages of the Bible? Number one, you have to recognize your sin. Has there ever been a time in your life when you've come into the holy presence of God and said, God, I recognize that I'm a sinner? The Bible said in Romans 3, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. From this preacher on down the line, nobody can stand up and say, I have never sinned. Number one, to get right with God, you have to recognize that you're a sinner. Number two, you have to repent of your sins. The Bible said, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Jesus said, unless you repent, in the Gospel of Luke, unless you repent, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that's a word we don't use a lot in the 21st century. What does repent mean? In its basic essence, it means make a U-turn. It means you've been walking in your own will, you've been walking in your own way. Maybe your attitude is, no religion's gonna tell me how to live. No preacher's gonna tell me what to do. This is my life, I'll do as I please, and that's your attitude. If that's your attitude, I can tell you where you're headed is in the wrong direction. You need to make a U-turn and say, God, I'm willing to walk in your will. I'm willing to walk in your way. And you know, when you walk in God's way, it's always better than your way. Number three, you have to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You have to do those three things. Have you ever done them? Have you ever done them personally and publicly? Everybody Jesus called, he called personally and publicly. He said in Luke's gospel, if you confess me publicly before men, I'll confess you openly before my Father. But he went on to say, if you're ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before the Father and the angels. That's why I ask people to come and pray publicly. We don't need any more camouflaged Christians. We don't need any more coward Christians. Everybody and their neighbor with every perversity under the sun has come out of the closet. If there ever was a time that God's children needed to come out of the closet and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Takes a backbone to be a real Christian. Takes a real man to be a Christian. Takes a real woman to say, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to raise my kids in the righteousness of God and faith. And you can recognize your sin, repent of your sin, and receive Jesus Christ today. And I want you to know that is the most important thing on my agenda this morning. With that in mind, let's turn our attention to Bible prophecy and read out of 1 John chapter 2. And in these closing moments, I want you to see the Bible prophesying a coming world leader. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 18, reading out of the New Living Translation, the Bible said, do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. Run your highlighter through that in verse 17. This world is fading away. Bible prophecy shows us that this world in which we live, in all of its political agendas, is fading away. It's wonderful to preach that it's all going to be pie in the sky. It's wonderful to excite the crowd and to say America's best days are not behind us, they're ahead of us. But none of that can be supported by Bible prophecy. It said the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the world is fading away. Nations and independence and freedoms and decency and order are fading away. The Bible said in prophecy, if possible in the last days, the very elect will be deceived. Now notice that it didn't say the church is fading away. It said the world is fading away. As long as the church age remains, and if you're a brand new Christian, what is the church age? It was founded by Jesus Christ, the greatest prophecy out of the mouth of Jesus. In Matthew 16, as he told his disciples, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so throughout the entirety of the church age, which began at the first advent of Christ and will conclude at the second advent of Christ, it's a limited time opportunity, the church age. We're living in it now. Though the world fades away, the church will remain in power and authority and mission under the rapture of the church. And so don't misunderstand what I'm saying. The world is moving towards the five political agendas of Revelation 13, and that's unstoppable. And as you may have heard me preach through the years, there is no mention of America in Bible prophecy. If you hear anybody trying to put America in Bible prophecy, you're listening to an unlettered Bible speaker. You cannot put America in Bible prophecy without perverting and twisting the scriptures. Because Bible prophecy is not about America. It's not about American politics. It's not about Democrats. It's not about Republicans. If you're listening to ministers on social media and there's an overemphasis upon America and American politics and Democrats and Republicans and so on, you're listening to the wrong voices, because the Bible is not about America. The Bible is about Israel. The Bible is about the Jews. The Bible is about Jerusalem, but God grafted in a church age so that Gentiles, non-Jews, could come to faith in Christ. But the church age is about to end, because the next major prophetic event is the rapture of the church. And when the church is taken out of this earth, it will not be taken out of the earth defeated. It'll not be taken out of the earth hanging on by a thread. It'll not leave this earth on life support. He's coming for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. We're leaving in victory. We're leaving in power. We're living in mission unto the coming of Jesus Christ. Come on and somebody shout a good Alaska amen. Hallelujah. This world is fading away, not the church, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Are you doing what pleases God? Is that your motivation every day when you get up? Do you pray every morning when you get up, Father, thank you. Thank you for another day. Thank you for life. Thank you for health. Thank you for strength. I love you, Father. My life belongs to you. Spend me today as you see fit. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Help me to be a good ambassador for Jesus. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and make me the man you want me to be. Every day, are you motivated to do what pleases God? Don't miss verse 18. Dear children, the last hour is here. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Run your highlighter through the word Antichrist, capital A. The Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. Run your highlighter through Antichrists, plural, small a. And I'll come back to that, because many think this is a contradiction and an error and a slip up by the author. Why does the Bible say Antichrist singular and in the same sentence say Antichrists plural? Why did the Bible translators capitalize one and not the other? The Antichrist singular is coming. That's the one world leader. And already many such Antichrists plural have appeared. The Bible said there's been many appointed. Already many such Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that the last hour has come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we read the scriptures, may we ever be quick to pause and to bow before you and to humble our hearts in your holy presence. And I humble my heart before this audience and for all who may be listening online. By the anointing and the wisdom and the counsel of the Holy Spirit, guide us into truth. Keep us from personal commentary. And may only the truth of God prevail, For it is in the preaching of the truth of God that you convict sin, and the compassion of the Holy Spirit draws people to Christ. May not one person who listens today be left behind or be absent in eternity's morning. I pray that they, along with their entire household, would be saved in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let me answer that first question. I see many of you taking notes. Those of you that follow us on YouTube and social media platforms, you always hear me say, bring a Bible, bring a way of taking notes, bring a highlighter. And the reason for that is not in lecturing scholarship habits, but your mind, even high IQs, only retain 20 to about 22% of what you hear. But your pen or your pencil or your digital tablet has a 100% retention rate, and then don't miss this. The favor and the promotion of God in your life is directly connected to your knowledge of the Bible. Your favor, your promotion, your acceleration. God watches people who study to show themselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Because God can't trust you with his supernatural if you're basing it upon carnality and flesh and opinion and point of view. He can only entrust to you what he can plant in the soil and the integrity of his word. And so when you show yourself to be an extraordinary student with God, you put yourself on a path for uncommon favor. Because the blessing of God is in the covenant of his word. Can I hear an amen? Why is there Antichrist capital, singular, Antichrist plural, small a? Don't miss what I'm about to tell you. A lot of people who have studied the Bible for years never teach this, or maybe I don't know, maybe have never been taught. But I want you to understand today that the full chronology of end time prophecy and the timing of that chronology is exclusively in the hands of the Father. Satan has no ability to play a role in the chronology of end time events. Only God. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 36, no man knows the day nor the hour that the Son of Man cometh. So no man, no politician, no government, no world luminary, no dictator, no premier, no man has the ability to speed up or to decelerate the timing of Bible prophecy. Then Jesus went on to say, no man knows the day nor the hour that the Son of Man will return. No, not the angels in heaven. So all of these Fruit Loop prophets you're listening to on social media that play with angels every Saturday morning and hear from heaven and travel back and forth and so on and so forth, you're listening to false teachers and false prophets. Angels don't have that ability. And then Jesus said, but my Father only. Only God the Father, straight out of the Bible. Only God the Father has control on the turning of the pages of final Bible prophecy. When you hear all of these individuals, preachers, teachers, prophets, who are always talking about American politics, American presidents, elections, Democrats, Republicans, etc., you know you're listening to someone who does not know the Bible. Prophecy has nothing to do with America. Prophecy has nothing to do with American politics. Prophecy has nothing to do with Democrats or Republicans or independents. It's in the hands of the Father. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard in recent years, especially post-pandemic, notable ministries saying, if so-and-so is elected, it'll give America a greater opportunity of grace. Or if so-and-so is elected, it'll hasten the wrath and the judgment of God. No, it won't. American presidents will never accelerate or decelerate the plan of God. The plan of God is on a perfect prophesied track, and man can't touch it. Prayer can't touch it. Fasting can't touch it. Prophecy is in the plan of God, and it ticks by the timing of the Father. Somebody dare to say amen. Please don't forget that. That'll be of great help to you. Because you listen to a lot of people, you'd think Bible prophecy swung through the White House in Washington, D.C. Thank you for all those amens. That's why we take the offering first. If I haven't offended you yet, be patient. I'll get to you. That's why there's Antichrist plural. Because Satan is in charge of the coming world leader. He was cast out of heaven to this earth, and he was given the domain of this earth. He was given the first heaven. The Bible teaches us that there are three heavens. Paul said, I was caught up into the third heaven. If there's a third heaven, there's a first heaven, and there's a second heaven. Without getting into a Hebrew word study, the first heaven, biblically, just refers to the atmosphere that surrounds the earth, the atmosphere that you and I live in. Biblically, that's the first heaven. The second heaven is the stellar heaven. That's where the sun, moon, and stars are all located, and galaxies in the stellar heaven. But there is a third heaven, undefined, not on a map. No GPS can track it. That is where God the Father dwells. That is where Jesus Christ is seated in honor at his right hand. That is where the angels of the Lord walk in the mountains of God, crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. There is a third heaven, but there is coming a day when that heaven will descend out of the sky and be on this earth. The Bible said there's coming a day when God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth where everyone is right with God. Can you shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. Praise God. Pardon me for being Pentecostal. I am so excited as I study the Bible in these last days because it's like an unfair chess match. I know every move that's about to happen in the world, and so can you simply by the study of the scriptures. Because Satan's in charge of the Antichrist, he has no more knowledge of the timing of prophecy than you or I do. God the Father exclusively. So the Antichrist is subservient to the chronology of God the Father. He has always had to have had an Antichrist waiting in the wings. Because he doesn't know when the rapture is going to take place any more than you or I do. But the Antichrist has to be revealed sometime immediately after the rapture, prior to the beginning of the tribulation, where 7 years of wrath of God never seen before, never will be seen again, will be outpoured upon this earth. And so people, Satan has always had to have had a political or an economic or a religious charismatic personality in the wings. So when you've heard through the years, you know, Hitler's the Antichrist, Mussolini's the Antichrist, Bill Clinton's the Antichrist, Obama's the Antichrist. George Bush is the Antichrist. Donald Trump must be the Antichrist. Well, he combs his hair over that 666 so you can't see it. And you hear all of these crazy speculations as to who the Antichrist is. The Pope's the Antichrist. Henry Kissinger's the Antichrist. Elon Musk is the Antichrist. And people don't realize Satan has always had to have had a charismatic, recognizable, global personality, either in the realm of economics or religion or world leadership, because he's not in charge as to when the Antichrist is introduced front and center. God's in charge of that. So there are many antichrists, the Bible tells us, that have been in the wings. But when the rapture takes place, the Antichrist, capital A, will be revealed. If you're still with me, can I hear a good amen? When did the concept of a coming world leader begin? This is often debated in eschatology and theological circles, and especially with politics becoming so important to many churches, denominations, etc. And to be honest with you, most scholars agree. They'll take the concept of a one-world domination back to the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9, which took place some 2,200 years before the birth of Christ. And if you've ever read the story of the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11, people of the world began to amass power and talent and technology and architecture, and they were wanting to build a city that were as an altar into the skies, and world domination was the theme. And God, of course, came in judgment and scattered the languages and scattered the people, and that's the birthplace of cultures and languages and so forth. But I would not vehemently disagree with all of those scholars, but I would say that that's not my understanding. Because the concept of world domination, I believe, can be traced to the heart of Lucifer in his rebellion against God before being cast to this earth. Satan, Lucifer, Revelation calls him the dragon, wanted to be a god, wanted power like God, wanted domination. And the Bible said that in rebellion, along with one-third of the angels whom he had deceived, he led a revolt against God that was not a UFC fight that went six rounds and was decided by split decision, but rather Jesus said, I saw him fall from heaven like lightning. And he was cast to this earth and given domain of the first heaven. That's what the Bible means when it says he is the prince and the power of the air. From original languages, that could be translated the first heaven. That is why, don't miss that, that is why in our world there is wickedness, there is unrighteousness, there are things unspeakable, behaviors behind closed doors by prominent people that are being debated and hidden, swept under rugs, and corruption and so on. There really is sin in our world. There really is wickedness in our world. There really is corruption and demonic influence in this world. I personally hope you never have to witness it, but I've been involved in exorcisms in 45 years of ministry. I'll never forget the first young man that I was called in to deal with, 16 years old. And six voices coming out of him. Never seen anything like it, even in a Hollywood movie. You don't need a doctorate of divinity at that point to believe that there are real demons. Six grown men could not hold him down. Multiple voices. Demonic spirits are real. The Bible said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. but against principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. The Bible tells us evil is real. And the Antichrist is going to be the embodiment of Satan and evil, but with great deception. Then I want to answer a question. Does the Bible prophesy legitimately a coming world leader? And if so, where? Turn to Revelation chapter 13. And let me read the first seven verses as we prepare to close. Revelation 13, verses 1 through 7. Then I saw a beast. Now the beast here in Revelation 13 is the Antichrist. Rising up out of the sea. This means rising up out of the nations. It had seven heads, 10 horns, with 10 crowns on its horns. And written on each head were names that blasphemed God. The beast looked like a leopard, but it had the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. And the dragon is Satan in Revelation. And the dragon gave the beast, the Antichrist, his own power and throne and great authority. Here is where we see in the scripture that this political, religious, or economic, charismatic leader that'll take the stage is literally puppeted by Satan. Gave him his power, gave him his throne and great authority. And I saw that one of the heads of the beast seemed wounded beyond recovery, but the fatal wound was healed. The whole world, here's where we get the global, the whole world marveled at his miracle and gave allegiance. The whole world will give their allegiance. He is a world dominating figure. Verse 4, they worshiped the dragon for giving the beast such power, and they also worshiped the beast. There's world religion. Who is as great as the beast, they exclaimed. Who is able to fight against him? Then the beast was allowed to speak great blasphemies against God, and he was given authority to do whatever he wanted for 42 months. And he spoke terrible words of blasphemy against God, slandering his name and his dwelling. That is who dwell in heaven. And the beast was allowed to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. This speaks of the tribulation saints. People will be saved during the tribulation and will pay with their very lives. And he was given authority to rule over every tribe and people and language and nation. There again is Bible prophecy, leaving no wiggle room. He is a global leader. Every tribe, every people, every language, every nation. Now, I'm going to give you a homework assignment. Probably one of the most important Bible prophecy messages I have ever preached. It's on our YouTube channel, and I want you to listen to it this week. And then I'm going to challenge you not only to listen to it once, I want you to listen to it until you can teach it to family and friends. And the title of that Bible study is The 5 Political Agendas of Final Bible Prophecy. The 5 political agendas of final Bible prophecy. Listen to that until you grasp the knowledge in it and can teach it. What are the 5 political agendas that are coming on the earth? Where they're already here in many forms and fashions. But the 5 political agendas, once you understand from Bible prophecy the 5 political agendas, you will see the events of our world through glasses that world leaders don't even see. Number 1, the Bible said the first political agenda is this coming world leader, the Antichrist. Number 2, he will create a one world government. The allegiance of the entire world, every tribe, every nation, every language, so on. One world leader, one world government, one world monetary system. Revelation tells us there's coming a day when people will have to receive a mark either on their forehead or on their right hand. Who would have thought there'd ever be a day I mean, you have to remember, John the Revelator, who wrote the book of Revelation, wrote this in 95 AD. They were still using for currency turtle doves, pigeons, metals, precious stones. Only some advanced civilizations had stamped coinage. And he prophesied in the first century, there's coming a day when the world will have a technology whereby no one can buy or sell without a mark. And you and I don't even wince at that. We don't even wince that months ago Amazon came out in their Amazon stores where you can now walk into Amazon stores and just put your hand over a machine and make all your purchases and just go out the door. We don't even wince at the technologies because they're already in existence. There are already nations in the world who have done away with currencies and people carry a mark on their hand. We basically live in a cashless society. Now, I'm old school. I like to have some cash. I feel naked without a few $100 bills if I'm going on a long trip. I just feel insecure. I like to have some money in my pocket, but I've been in Alaska since May 31st and have not used a dollar bill. Just credit cards. And you don't even have to do what you used to do with those. You just put them on a machine and tap them. And that's the technology that exists in the world today, where now people just tap their hands, scan their eyes. I have a special clearance because of my travels in airports. And when I come in, I go to a secret location, and they take me back there, and I stand in front of a screen, and it scans my eyes, or you can scan your hand. I stand there and it scans my eyes, and all of these security clearances are cleared, and a person escorts me straight to the front of the line.
Well, you shouldn't use that, Brother Shuttlesworth. You're going to hell.
No, I actually flew into Anchorage. You see, because I know Bible prophecy, I don't mind playing with the Antichrist toys until he gets here. Because greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. Now, if they introduce a technology where they want to put some mark on my head or put some mark on the back of my hand, I will definitely be drawing a line. But you see, knowing Bible prophecy, that'll never happen. I close with this. Don't miss it. If you are right with Jesus Christ, you will never meet the Antichrist. If you are right with Jesus Christ, you will never meet the Antichrist. You will never deal with this one world situation that is mounting as I speak. Please listen to that over and over. The five political agendas of final Bible prophecy: one world leader, one world government, one world monetary system, one world religion, one world military power to enforce it. You do realize they just built the one world temple in Abu Dhabi. They've already built what they're calling the one world temple. And the Pope has blessed it. And the leaders of Israel and the rabbis have blessed it. And evangelical leaders in Christianity have blessed it. As a common temple in the world for a one world religion. And it is spectacular. No wonder the Bible said, if possible, the very elect would be deceived. You listen to me, friend, as I prepare to give this invitation and give you an opportunity to get right with Jesus Christ. When you're right with Jesus Christ, These things are coming on the world in God's 7 years of great wrath called the tribulation period. As a matter of fact, the global currency, the mark, will not be implemented until 3.5 years into the tribulation. And I don't have time to preach on all of this morning, but this is why, in one concise statement, I tell you, if you are right with Jesus Christ, you will never meet the Antichrist, nor will you ever sit under the 5 global agendas. I don't believe America loses its identity until after the rapture. Because the rapture, the numbers of Christians in this nation, it varies by different poll groups, but conservatively, 60 to 90 million Christians in America. When that number of people is raptured out of America, our nation's just going to collapse by the infrastructure and the aftermath of that. Because the rapture of the church, by and large, is going to be the cream of the crop. We're the people who teach pay your bills. We're the people who teach go to work. We're the people who teach God's a capitalist, not a socialist. And by the way, he is. He said, I'll take from him who has little and I'll give it to him who has much. The government takes from those who have much and gives it to those who don't do a stinking thing. God's a capitalist. We're the people who contend for the family. We're the people who do our best to raise our kids in the fear and admonition of God. We're the people who try to teach our kids not to be racists. We're the people who teach our people to live in harmony. All of the virtues of the Bible and the life of Christ that are in our structure, when America's Christian base is raptured out of this earth, I believe it implodes. I mean, just think of the civil war of your own family coming for your stuff when you're gone. You'll probably have family members that will shoot each other for your boat, your car, your cabin on the lake, your place down on the Kenai. People will go nuts. And this nation will collapse and implode, I believe, by the rapture. The only thing that's saving America right now and providing stability is the prophecy of Jesus about building the church. And the church in America is an invisible holding power. And the Bible says the Antichrist cannot be revealed until that restraining force is taken out of the way. So until the church ends by means of rapture, you and I have a promised path of victory. Can I hear a thundering amen in the house of God? Stand to your feet with me, please. You will never meet the Antichrist as long as you've made peace with Jesus Christ. Have you made peace with Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you today about joining a religion. And I honor religion. A lot of people attack religion. A lot of preachers and evangelists attack religion. Always talking about religion in a bad light. That person has a religious spirit. No such thing. Person has a Jezebel spirit. There's no such thing. Jezebel was a person. She died. She had one spirit. The Bible said when she died, her spirit either went into paradise or into the holding place of the dead in Hades, Sheol. And the Bible said there's no crossing over from there to here. Jezebel's spirit has been in Sheol, in the Hebrew, Hades in the Greek, the holding place of the tormented until final judgment, since the moment Jezebel died. So don't blame your wife for a Jezebel spirit. Don't blame people in the church for a Jezebel spirit. People love to blame all of their sins and faults upon somebody else. You know where the sin lies? Jeremiah said it. The heart of man is deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? Your problems aren't some spirit in or out of hell. Your problem's you. Your problem's not some generational curse passed down from your crazy aunt 700 years ago. Your problem's you. If any person comes to Christ, they become a brand new creature. Old things pass away. All things become new. The power and the saving blood of Jesus does not leave one sin behind, does not leave one bad habit behind. You just have to learn to bring that old flesh into subjection to the power of Jesus and his glorious teaching. Didn't he say, as many as believe me, as all receive me, I'll give to them the power to become the sons and the daughters of God. You'll never walk in power and authority as long as you're blaming somebody else for your sins. You have to come to God and say, I have sinned. I own up to my sin. I take responsibility for my mistakes. Because when you stand before God in judgment, you're not going to stand before God in judgment for somebody else. I'm going to stand before God and give an account. The good news is, if you're a Christian, there's seven judgments, but the Christian goes to the judgment seat of Christ. And once you get to the judgment seat of Christ as a Christian, that's not a judgment for sin. Your sin was already judged on the cross with Christ. And when you receive Christ, as you're about to do in childlike faith when we pray, all of your sin was judged at the cross. Christ became your mediator. That's what the entire book of Hebrews is in the New Testament. Three themes in Hebrews: a better priest, a better covenant, better promises. By his blood we were saved, and by his stripes we were healed. And God said, I would above all things that you'd prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Getting your soul right with God is where everything begins to change. And here's the good news. You don't change your life and come to Jesus. You come to Jesus and he'll change your life. You don't give up your drugs and come to Jesus. You have to come to the altar as a drug addict, and he'll break the curse of drugs and addictions. You don't give up your alcohol and come to the altar. You come to the altar even if you're an alcoholic. He'll love you the way you are. He'll forgive you the way you are. The grace of God, all who call upon the name of the Lord. Why? Because the forgiving power of the cross is greater than your past, greater than your history, greater than your sins, greater than your failures, greater than any problem you ever face. But you have to come to Christ by faith. And the good news is, by coming to Christ today, you don't have to worry about anything concerning the Antichrist. You'll be in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ, not being judged for your sin, but being examined and evaluated for your new authority and role when you return with Christ to rule and reign. You can't lose your salvation at the judgment seat of Christ. It's just a determination as to where you're going to serve, both in the millennium and in the kingdom of God eternally. How many want to live every day ready to meet the Lord? If you're here today, and there are some of you, there always are, and that's why I'm here. I said it before, I say it one last time. If you're the worst sinner in Alaska today, I'm your best friend. I'm not your judge. I flew about 5,000 miles to help you find Christ and to get right with God. I care about you. God cares about you, but I can't make this decision for you. You've got to make it on your own. But let me be abundantly clear. By coming to this altar, you're saying, God, I want to be a real Christian. Because some of you aren't living in victory over sin. Sin's living in victory over you, and you need to come home. You need to get right with God. Three things. What were they? Recognize your sin. Repent of your sin. Receive Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to do in this prayer. And some of you that'll pray with me, you've never done it before. Maybe never had an opportunity. Maybe your first visit here at Kings, Alaska. You're saying, I want to get right with God. Jesus said, if you confess me publicly before men, by coming here, you're not doing this for me. By coming to this altar, you're literally telling God, God, I don't understand all of this, but I do believe that I need to get right with God, and I'll start there. And you can start right there. Some of you are away from the Lord, and you need to come back home. You used to live for the Lord. Maybe you went through something in life that caused you to take a left turn and make some poor decisions. And you need to come back home. You can come home today. I always ask those that have the courage. The worship team's going to lead us in a song of invitation. As they sing the first note, those of you that have the courage, I'm going to ask you to be the very first ones to come. Your courage will help somebody that doesn't have that same tenacity that you have. That's just human nature. Christian, I'm going to ask you to be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. If you have family, friends, a neighbor, maybe somebody visiting, but if there's somebody sitting next to you and you're not sure if they've ever made their own personal and public commitment to Christ, as people are gathering, I want you to kindly, not forcibly, kindly turn to them and say, if you want to pray, I'll walk with you. And just give that invitation. And as God is speaking to your heart, those of you that need to make that commitment to Christ and feel that tugging of the Lord, you come right now and then we're going to pray. We're going to pray together. Those of you that are watching online, wherever you might be in the world, if God's been speaking to your heart, I want you to pray with us as well. Because you're not here with me physically, I'm going to ask you to take one extra step. And that is, when we're done praying, if you're sincere, go to my website. It's lostlamb.org, one word, lostlamb.org, and click on the New Beginnings and follow the simple prompts. Because your prayer to make peace with God today is not the end of what we're about to do, it's the beginning. And I've provided a series of teachings just between you and I. Click on the New Beginnings when we're done praying, and then email me and let me know. We'll follow up on you. Let's pray together. God hears every prayer out loud and without shame. Say, Heavenly Father, today as I was listening to the scriptures, you were speaking to me, revealing your ways and your will. I recognize my sin. There is nothing in my life hidden from your eyes. I not only recognize my sin, today I repent. In childlike faith, I turn my back on sin and I turn my heart to Jesus. I receive him as my Lord and Savior. Today I choose forgiveness. Today I choose mercy. Today I choose grace. Today I receive salvation as the gift of God, not by my works. And now, according to the Bible, as I have repented of sin and receive Jesus Christ, today I'm saved. Today I'm healed. Today I'm delivered. And today I'm favored. The curse of sin is gone, and the blessing of God is mine. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and give me your power to be what you want me to be. In Jesus' name, today I vow I will serve the Lord. May my entire family come to know you as well. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.